We'd like to welcome Ian Clark, who is the founder of Activation Products, which is a primary manufacturer and curator of highly efficacious natural health products.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be here. We're going to get into some cool content on a very different approach to how we address these issues that are, you know, having people running scared and freaking out.
So, you know, in a time during this pandemic, when everyone is talking about a vaccine and we have people, I live in New York City, people are afraid to walk down the street, mask or not, gloves or not, you know, no one is talking about the immune system. No one is talking about the natural vitamins and minerals. We have the FBI raiding warehouses in Michigan for treating people with vitamin C who have COVID-19. So let's jump right into it, man. Where to begin? We should start with your healing journey, you know, and how you got to where you are.
Yeah, well, I'm 62, just turned on June 7th. And based on current trajectory and estimates of where I am with my level of health, you know, because it's regardless of age, it's kind of like how many days have you been alive doing the right thing or the wrong thing? And how many days are you expected to stay alive doing the right thing or the wrong thing? And when I was 46 years old, I was given a diagnosis of a lot of life-threatening crap and also given a prognosis of around 1,000 days left to live if I did everything the doctor said.
What were some of the bigger prognoses that you received?
Well, it was typical. I was diagnosed with liver cancer, which was actually a false diagnosis. There was an extreme problem with my liver, but it definitely was not cancer, as it turns out. We'll get into that in a little bit. I did have colon cancer. I started out with a fistula cyst that morphed into a tumor that expanded from my prostate, attached to my large intestine, out into a third testicle and a blockage in the rectum. And that was a really nasty one. But that, again, was naturally able to be dealt with, forget any surgery in that regard. And then I had heart disease, which was a lot of blockages. And then a lot of peripheral stuff, like just, I was always getting sick, always getting sore throats, infections. I had lesions on my legs that were, like, I didn't have any clue what those were. I was around 90 pounds overweight. And it turned out that I had a huge amount of lead poisoning from working in the oil field for 17 years in the service sector. And we were running like downhole equipment. I worked on the rigs themselves where there's just nothing but lead used on all the connections. And they don't ever warn you about that, right? You know, they should be screaming at everybody about that stuff, but never was anything said. My body was full of mold and all types of different mold. And it's not the mold so much that's killing you as it is the poisonous gases that they release that turns into toxicity within the body. And a number of other heavy metal problems like mercury and cadmium. Mm-hmm. So a combination of all that plus gut health was screwed all up, and everything I was thinking, saying, doing was off the rails. It was dumb, you know, just your typical 46-year-old fat white guy in Canada, you know, doing what everybody else is doing and thinking I'm going to be okay, you know?
Right. Gut health is another huge subject that's been coming up, and I think that more people are aware of than ever. So we're definitely going to get into that and talk about that. But tell me a little bit about what kind of Western medicine did you partake in, and did you end up, you know, having surgeries? Did you end up having any chemos, or, you know, did you just go find your path? Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, that's a good kind of segue in. I've grown up in a family of medical doctors. Like my oldest brother, 30 years GP, had a clinic with 11 doctors working for him in North Bay, Ontario. My oldest sister is married to a heart surgeon, a guy that specializes in stents. My dad had heart disease, died of that at 76 after battling for 13 years with open heart surgeries twice and aorta aneurysms. I mean, it's just my family very much leaning and getting all of us socially to lean towards definitely going to the doctor, listening to exactly what the doctor says. And the thing that really struck me in early in life, I was 20 years old, 1978. And for that year from 77 to 78, both of my uncles on my mom's side, and I looked very much like one of them, so I very much leaned to my mom's side, they died at 51 and 54, 2 days apart, in September of 1978, both of cancer. Both of them did exactly what the doctor prescribed and diagnosed them with, and gave them the prognosis of a death at whatever time, and they were right on time with their funerals. So when I saw that, I was like, man, that is so messed up. And they were at 51 and 54, and you know, when you're 20, 51 and 54 seems a little bit old, but I knew that that was really weird, right? Yeah. Because my grandmother, their mom, lived till 103. She died in 1995. And here we are in 1978 with her two sons dying. My mom is still alive at 98. She still lives in her own house, and that was their older sister. But I just remembered that they did exactly what the doctor said. So their doctor was their mentor for their physical health, their advisor, the person who's going to treat them.
They trusted him.
And they did everything according to spec. You know, the chemo, the radiation. Well, the one who I looked like, he died with no chemo and radiation or surgery, because when they opened him up to do surgery, he was so full of cancer, they just basically sold him up and said, dude, like, that's it. You just get your affairs in order. He died within 3 months of the diagnosis. But my other uncle, he was a year, and he had liver cancer, and he had several operations, chemo, radiation, went down to a total skeleton. Like, I've never seen anything like before, where it was just skin stretched over his bones.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah.
It was really intense, because I hadn't seen him for the whole year from the summer of 1977 to the summer 1978, because I was working in Alberta at the time. And when I saw him between the two, from being like normal healthy to like super skeleton, that you know, that leaves
a deep impact. Yeah, that'll shake you.
Yeah. But the thing was, is that at, you know, here we are 26 years later in 2004, and I'm facing worse stuff than they were. And I didn't know if the diagnoses were true, because I wouldn't allow any biopsies. Somebody told me, don't do biopsies. Like, if they try to take parts of your body away and test them, that can cause metastasis. And so I had a little bit of knowledge about that. So I didn't want to, I really was sick and tired of the whole thing. All these things that these doctors were telling me that I had, and that I was supposed to do about it, they could never answer the main question, was why do I have what I have? What's going on? It was always a general assumption that it was genetic predisposition, especially my brother was a huge promoter of that, because he, of course, knew my uncles personally, right? So he goes, yeah, well, you know, you look just like Uncle Don. I mean, what do you think? It's genetic predisposition. I've had thousands of patients come through my clinic for all these, you know, 30 years. I see all walks of life, all manner of types and nationalities and beliefs and whatever. And, you know, they could be eating organic and juicing and die at 35 of cancer, or eat out of the dumpster and party their face off and die at 94. It's all genetic predisposition. And he said, and he told me, he said, don't even worry about it. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
You've been, you know, dealt a hand. You just work with it. Do not screw around with this thing. You go to the doctors who know. They've been trained at university levels and had to deal with this crap. You don't know the first thing about it. And you got all these problems coming at once. So don't screw around. Like, just get this stuff done.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, otherwise you'd be dead in like 300 days. So I was just like, man, like, I'm supposed to now accept that genetic predisposition, like a numbers game, a statistic, is supposed to be like my deal. Mm-hmm. And I hated it. Friggin' hated that.
Yeah. So what did you end up doing? Did you go that route?
I started doing research. Yeah. I started going online, and I started saying, like, what's up? And I was getting sicker and sicker quickly. So I knew I was on a timeline. And I knew that there was something really deep that had happened that was causing this. It wasn't just genetic predisposition. So when in the conversations with my brother and other doctors, I kept saying, you know, I got to have the answer why. It can't just be this genetic thing. I think it's what I'm doing. Well, long story short, it was absolutely everything I was doing. It had nothing to do with genetic predisposition. It was the fact that I had, you know, been contaminated with all this crap in the oil field. That was catching up with me. I was eating fast food and garbage. I didn't even give a shit about organic. I just did whatever I wanted. I slept very little. I would be stressed out because I thought that was cool. Just go, go, go. Because I had a lot of energy until it ran out and I hit the wall. And then I'm sick as a dog, right? And you want to just lay down and die when you're that sick. You don't want to get up and do something about it. But what I realized is that it really was me. You know, you get a feeling in your gut that you just, I think it's freaking me, right? And so when I started telling people it was me, then they would say, oh, no, that's the worst thing you can do, is try to take responsibility. You're going to blame yourself. It's going to make it worse. You're going to produce all this acid. You're going to be in more trouble. Just let the doctors take care of it. And at that point, I just went, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm freaking done. I'm not going to talk to anybody about this anymore. My brother phoned my mom, and when I took over the situation and took responsibility for everything, he phoned my mom and told her that I was committing suicide. And that was the last straw. Like, okay, dude, that's it. Don't talk to me anymore for 24 months. I'm not going to, you guys leave me alone. I am going to figure this thing out. And I woke up one morning shortly after that with the realization that there are people on this earth for real who have done a lifetime of study, and they're the best of the best in each category. You know, the best violinist, the best oil painter, the best heart person, the best brain person, you know, digestive, circulatory, you name it. There's always the best in the category, the best of class. It's just the way that the world is. And I knew that was true. And I knew that if I could find those people or be led to them, and if I could have enough time or resources to do things that they knew I had to do, that I would be more than happy to do that. The problem was I didn't know who they were, where they were, or how to find them at all.
Right.
And that was pretty intimidating, just the knowledge of that. And you could have given me $10 billion back then, I wouldn't have found them. Because it was, I had to go deep, and I had to, it was like this huge changing of the mind. And just going, everything I know is killing me.
Yeah.
Everything I'm doing is killing me. How do I change? Where do I start? And so I said, it's got to be simple. It's got to be actually simple. But then when you go into the natural space, you got all these gurus who have all these differing opinions. I mean, this guy says only eat fruit. This guy says never eat fruit. This guy goes keto. This guy goes, you know, intermittent fasting. This one's over here doing all the opposites.
Right.
And everybody trying to get followers. So I was like, well, I don't, like, that's mad. This pretty confused place. You go to a naturopath and they'll read the riot act to you. Can you imagine if I would have gone to a naturopath at that time? I would have had 150 things on the list and all this stuff I would have to do. So what I kind of, it was like these little revelations that were coming to me, is that if you could actually do a reset where you would go, you would dial it down and go to the cause of the problem. Because when you have a, we have a bunch of problems, people are offering a bunch of solutions. That is the worst thing, because they distract you from going to the cause of the problem. If you can remove the cause of the problem actually just goes away and you don't have to solve anything.
Yeah.
And so that was, that's actually what happened. And it took 5 years to start to find out what are the causes of all these things. That's how I found out about mold issues and heavy metals and what they do combined together against you in your immune system. And how that totally confuses everything. And that mercury fillings and lead in your system and all of this other crap that you're breathing all day. I found out that there's 10 billion pounds of rubber dust from tires released every year in the United States during that time. Not now, because the cars aren't driving around, but at that time, it was all this nanoparticulates that are in, and you got all your heavy metals in the tires when they manufacture them, all these plastics and stinking epoxies and solvents and whatever, and they go a mile and a half above every highway, and the government did a study in 2010, and they found that those numbers, and they were doing sampling with helicopters above the highways up to a mile and a half high with all just rubber dust.
Oh, that my one God. Thing.
You know, what about brake dust? What about fuels that aren't burning?
I mean, I try not to run anywhere near a road because it's just, I mean, like, you have to be crazy. There's just so much toxins in the air. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that rubber dust thing was at the top of the mountains, at the bottom of lakes, all over every single farmer's field, because the entire country in Canada and the U.S., in the, you know, at least this border's close to the U.S., in Canada, are just totally jacked with that. So you're breathing heavy metals 24/7. So those things you can't control. There's a lot of things you can control by eating cleaner and detoxing and doing that. But the most important thing I learned was that you daily, you have to start cleansing and nourishing. If you try to cleanse too quickly, you can damage yourself. If you start dumping heavy metals too fast, they go up in the brain. Now you got another problem, because it's more difficult to get them out of the brain if they're only down in your gut. So I learned all about gut health and leaky gut and IBS and diverticulitis and all the crap that goes on in that world, and how that your neurological pathways are connected from your gut to your heart to your head, and everything is this super connection thing. And how do you get back? So number one, how do you stop the damage from coming in, first of all? How do you repair the damage that happened? How do you then rebuild on top of that and start bringing in good stuff to start building up a really powerful body and remediate every single thing that's happening in the terrain of your entire system? And I don't care if it's electrical terrain or biophotons or, you know, your gut health, bacteria, whatever it is,
right?
It is a terrain issue, and you got to have a healthy terrain to be a healthy person physically.
So let's get right into that then. You mentioned three things. So let's get into what you feel and what you've discovered in your journey that you now know, would you say are the essential elements that you used, you know, to get to where you are sitting right now, you know, very healthy looking. We're going to show a wonderful before and after photo that I don't think people are going to believe, but, you know, and what, how you implemented these into your daily routine.
The whole thing that I learned most importantly for each person in this earth, because I got to be the test case, and I knew that I didn't want to spend all day long to try to be healthy. That's boring and expensive and OCD.
Right.
It comes down to a deep level reset at a functional foundational level. So what's the first thing you want to do when you wake up in the morning? That's when your life starts every morning, because every day is a new life. You know, just like death, burial, resurrection. You know, you die at nighttime, you're raised from the dead in the morning, you have your early day, which is your youth, your midday, which is your middle age, your later day in the evening going into the twilight years, and then you're dead again, and then you wake up again, right? So when you realize that you're living multiple lives like that, and every day is super critical, how do you start the day? What's the first thing? Well, I learned that hydration right away is super important, because your body just repaired all night, right? Digesting all the nutrients that you had, doing all the DNA repair, producing human growth hormones, just generally restoring as much as it possibly can, trying to stay ahead of the damage. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about your body, is you hit 21 and you start, you know, you're glowing at 21. And then if you don't take care of yourself, you lose that glow by the time you're 30. And then you're on this downward trajectory to a death in your 70s. It's like all messed up.
Right.
So you know that there's reactive oxygen species operating in your system at a certain level. And so you're able to overcome them. When you're young, here's your reactive oxygen species and here's your repair. Mm-hmm. As you get over that 21 age, it starts to even out. Mm-hmm. By the time you're 30, you're like reactive oxygen species are here and your repair is here. And it goes like that. And that's why people, the older they get, the faster they age. So I knew that that was a principle that we had to understand and compensate for.
Right. So when you say hydration, are you talking about obviously staying on top of, you know, your drinking water, and also, you know, the fact that you know your body's going into a rest and repair. That's why one of the biggest reasons we sleep, and so the body also needs to be kind of compensated for all the energy that it did use to repair over the night. Right.
Right. Well, it's restoring for your new life.
Right.
So the death is that going to a deep REM, deep, 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 everything. You're purging all of your stressors for the day with dreams. Dreams are hyper important. That people who take sleeping pills or anything to knock themselves out, they delete all the ability to process the trauma. Mm-hmm. But then when you wake up in the morning, so the first thing is hydration. But hydration, people think, oh, I got to drink lots of water. Probably the worst thing you could do, because you're taxing your kidneys so hard. So it's got to be the right kind of hydration, the right kind of water. It has to be certain mineralized. It's got to be structured, not some fancy devices, just the real correct minerals. Because your body, when you consume water, converts it to what's called the fourth phase of water. If you look up Dr. Gerald Pollack, he discovered the fourth phase of water. The fourth phase of water is because your three phases are liquid, solid like an ice, and then a vapor, right? Like a cloud. Mm-hmm. So the fourth phase is either between the liquid and the vapor or the liquid and the ice. And that fourth phase is what's inside your cells. So your body is a super, you know, production, basically biological thing. And your body can convert everything you give it, like a chemical factory taking all the nutrients and putting them into the right state so they can be used by your body.
Right.
Same with fluids. So if you ever drank a lot of water and started peeing clear, like so bad, because your kidneys have just gone, but dude, like, you're giving me the wrong stuff. You're giving me way too much of this crap. I'm just shutting down. So now there's just clear going in the toilet.
See, that's interesting, because I don't think that most people think that means they're hydrated. I think, you know, there's a general misunderstanding about, what that means when you drank so much water that, you know, you're peeing water.
Right. Yeah, when it comes to how much water is in your system, you actually don't have any, like you drink water, but you really don't have any water in your system. You have what is electrolytic fluid. You know, you think about, you know, your tears is like 1/3 diluted ocean water is what it tastes like, because it's like 1/3 the amount of salt. So you have electrolytic fluid throughout your system, whether it's mucus or blood or lymph fluids or whatever it is. The water is the hydrator of that system. So, as you know, you put water in your gut, it's immediately starting to convert into other things. That's why it's so important not to be peeing water, because right. You're messing with your system. It's taxing your kidneys like crazy, and it's pissing them off. No pun intended. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying it's almost like it acts as much like a conductor as it does anything else. It's essential.
Well, it's electrolytic fluid. Yeah. So you've got a matrix of minerals. If your minerals are down, if you're down on magnesium, there's 330 different biochemical reactions in your body that are going like, where's the magnesium? Mm-hmm. I need magnesium to make this work properly. You know, you're making me nervous. I'm getting anxious. I've got depression. I have heart palpitations. You know, I've got twitching muscles. I've got, you know, brain fog. That's just from simple magnesium deficiency. So the elements are the key. You know, the water, of course, you don't want to drink garbage water like RO water's trash because it's dead. Same with distilled is dead water. But at least it's clean. Mm-hmm. So you can take distilled water or RO and add a mineral matrix to it, whether it's like we have this thing called Trace. There's other different, you know, mineral matrices you can get. They immediately structure the water and make it available for your body to create the fourth phase of water. And your body can only take in 2 ounces every half an hour if you're drinking constantly.
When you say RO, are you talking about runoff water or?
Reverse osmosis.
Oh, reverse osmosis. Okay.
RO. Yeah, so the... But, you know, think of this. Your body can only actually process 2 ounces every half an hour if you're taking fluid in it all day long. Of course, if you've been starving yourself for fluids and you're dehydrating, then it's going to try to pull in more faster. Mm-hmm. But the ultimate is to have 2 ounces every half hour just flowing into your system, you know, just right. Sipping water throughout the day.
So can you talk a little bit about more magnesium? Because, you know, we learn about magnesium, I think, when we're young and we're learning about vitamins and minerals, and then you never hear about it again. I mean, maybe if you have a health problem, some people hear about it, or if you start to get really interested in vitamins and minerals. But, you know, I mean, I had a sunburn once, and I think that my wife used some kind of milk of magnesium product on me. That's the last time I remember hearing about magnesium.
Yeah, in the medical world, there were like studies that started around 25 years ago now, really good studies, like clinical stuff, peer-reviewed, the importance of magnesium's role in the body and why it has such an impact if you have not enough. So it's called the master mineral because it's not only electrolytic. In other words, it's what your body's using for your electrical processes, but it's also that catalyst for all your biochemical reactions. So your function, like just think about your brain. There's 80,000 thoughts to touch your index finger to your thumb. 80,000 thoughts that process wow. They measured. And we can do all of our fingers all at once and we can wiggle our toes at the same time. So every one of those thoughts require magnesium at the core. And there is magnesium in the food you eat. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the magnesium has been depleted over the years because the soil's got depleted and there's not enough magnesium,
right.
Especially if you're under any kind of stress situation or if you're having to use your brain a lot. And this became a super mind age. So every time you use brain power, you're burning magnesium as a fuel. So think of magnesium as a fuel, not just an element, not just a structural thing. Okay. It's real fuel. If you take magnesium, like they used to make rims for tires out of magnesium, that's what they call them, mag rims. They don't do that anymore. Because in a car accident, if there's any fire, you could not put out that fire. You burn magnesium. You know, like those little sparklers that you get.
Yeah, so it's literally fuel.
Oh man, you can't even put it up with a fire extinguisher. So that's a critical thing. And you don't need a massive amount of magnesium. You need just the right amount and you need the right form of it. And you need it coming into your body, either through your skin, which is really cool, or orally. Now, if you take it orally, there are different magnesiums that tax your kidneys. So people have kidney failure. They can't even touch magnesium orally. It's the form of magnesium. You want to have different forms. Like there's products like magnesium L-threonate. There's a patented magnesium that's good for the brain. You've got magnesium bisglycinate. that goes in to kind of feed the muscles of magnesium aspartate. There's all these things, but the food's rich in magnesium have been depleted so much. Chocolate's one of the only ones that has good magnesium. Wow. But the problem with chocolate, and I use chocolate, I love it. Everyone loves chocolate. Feel good stuff.
Right.
Is that it has the bromine, which will then start hammering you on the adrenal side because it's jacking you up all the time. So in order to have enough magnesium from chocolate, you got to have too much of it. Therefore, supplementing the magnesium, but getting a bioavailable one. There's chelated magnesiums. There's the one that comes into your skin is the best because you can put it geographically. When you eat it orally, you got to wait for it to get down to your ankle where you've got a problem. And if you just put it right in your ankle. So if you think about your muscle function, mm-hmm. The calcium is what contracts and the magnesium is what relaxes. You got to have both when you're walking around, just that function alone. So people get stiff muscles, stiff joints. That's often most, 98% of the time, magnesium deficiencies.
Wow. I had no idea that was the kit. That's so good to know.
The place where it shows up the strongest is people who have used LSD in the past.
Oh, that figures,
That was a very popular thing back, from 1943 to 1963. It was used all over the world legally. Sandoz produced tens of millions of doses of LSD that was used in clinics everywhere. And they had all kinds of huge results. Most people don't know that, but the Canadian government did a documentary in 2002 called Hoffman's Potion, where they actually told the truth about what LSD was. And people say it's Lucifer, Satan, devil. It's, D-lysergic acid. It's
right.
It's a true medicine that helped people dramatically to get out of all kinds of addictive problems and Alzheimer's. I mean, the stuff they did was just off the charts. But if you were low in magnesium, people could have what would call be a bad trip. You shouldn't even be tripping on it at all.
Right.
It's a medicine that is making all the connections for the brain to the heart to the gut.
Right.
And giving sincere deep thinking. And when you have proper amounts of magnesium, you see the colors in everything far brighter. So that one thing alone, LSD is illegal, so we're not talking about people doing that. We're not saying to do that. But in the past, that's what people found out. So magnesium levels low, bad experience. When they're high, great experience. Just like when you're sleeping. Because when you're going into your sleeping, you're going in a journey. And, look at the dream. I know it does. It makes a big difference.
And I was so surprised. And I remembered them all, too. I was like, wow. I wonder. And, intuitively, I thought, I bet you it has something to do with the magnesium. Yeah.
Right. It is. Oh, yeah. People use it when they wake up in the morning to give them the energy through the day because that's a fuel. It's a calm energy, but it's powerful. And then at night, because your body's tired and wants to go to sleep, it helps you go much deeper. And it keeps all the synapses rolling through the whole process.
Ian, tell us the name of that documentary again you mentioned because I want to make sure I include the link.
Yeah, it's Hoffman's Potion.
Hoffman's Potion. Yeah,
National Film Board of Canada. It was done in 2002. You'll find it on YouTube for free. It's 55 minutes. It's a little bit grainy, but you can see it very well, and it's fascinating.
I'll include a link. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. So, Ian, speaking of viruses and bacteria and germ theory and everyone talking about catching this virus and everyone talking about this virus, COVID-19, as if it had, arms, legs, the ability to camouflage itself. So I would love for you to tell us a little bit about some of the, precautions that you've taken and how you feel about this thing going on and, how you protect yourself.
So and what we've learned about between, all the theories, like the germ theory with Louis Pasteur and people who know that there's viruses that exist inside the body to erupt and detox you, that's all fine and well. I think the biggest concern was the bacterial stuff because there's the good guys and the bad guys. And some of those bad guys are friggin' dangerous, man.
Right.
You get people getting these lung infections. Did you know that 17,700 average people die every day of just lung infections and lung disease that does not include cancer?
Wow.
Every day.
I didn't know that. 17,000, huh?
Every friggin' day for the last 20 years. So your daily numbers, like your international daily number, because it's 7.7 people of every 1,000 people who die every year, that's 0.77 of 1%. And out of 7.8 billion people, that's 60 million people. If you divide that by 365, it's 163,000 people who die every day. And the biggest killer, of course, is old age, with all these weird diseases. But cardiovascular is number one killer. Then it's cancer. Then it's these lung things. Right. Well, why didn't they talk about that in the news? Like,
so this is a perfect segue, Ian, for iodine, and because I know that you come to discover a great deal about it, you know, in its history, but also in your healing journey. And you know, it's just not another word that you don't hear. You know, you don't go to the health food store, you don't go to your doctor, you don't ever hear about iodine. And so, you know, I'd love to hear what you, a little bit about what you discovered, and more importantly about, you know, how you've implemented it into your life and how you've made it a staple into some of the way that you work with people who are sick. And please tell us all about it.
So iodine, the molecule itself, has been the most studied molecule in the medical world and the naturopath world by far than anything else. The reason that we haven't heard about it is because it was before our time. This started back in 1811. By 1890, they had fully discovered in Europe that iodine deficiency related to thyroid issues all the way up to goiters. It also related to brain health problems and literally mental health problems, where they had insane asylums filling up. And they, when they found out that it was an iodine deficiency, they corrected it by adding iodide, which the thyroid converts to an iodine molecule when you consume it. They added that to salt in 1890 in Europe. They added it to salt in 1920 in North America. And from then on, all those major wave of issues disappeared. Problem was, is that they added it to bread and beer, which was awesome. They added it to salt, and everybody was using salt. So when the moms were having babies, as it turns out now, because they did studies on this in the early 2000s, published things like in 2005 and 2013 on how much it affects a woman in her endocrine health as well as her pregnancies and how it affects the babies, is that when a woman is low in iodine going into puberty at 10 to 12 years old as a young girl, if they have low iodine, they have a 45% chance of forming fibroids, fibroid cysts, and ultimately fibroid tumors and breast cancer. Mm-hmm. All related to iodine deficiency. A child being born in a woman who is low in iodine has a 4 times greater chance of being diagnosed with autism. So wow. Instead of 1 in 1,000 babies being born with autism, is now 1 in 59 in North America, because salt got condemned in the 70s and 80s as bad for your heart, causing high blood pressure and la-da-da, right? And people started taking Celtic salt and Himalayan salt, and they got, and then they took it out of the bread, they took it out of the beer, and replaced it with bromide. Why on earth? Who knows? Bromide gets into the receptor sites and plugs it, so you can't even get the iodide when it's going to show up. So these two things, these iodine term and iodide term, are very closely related. Iodide is perfectly stable. That's what's in the ocean. Mm-hmm. 1,000 metric tons of iodine is released. Iodide is released into the atmosphere, goes up and reacts with the ozone layer, turns into iodine, comes back down through the cloud formations, turns back into iodide, and hits the earth. So it's this whole functionality thing. Every rubber tire in the world has to have iodine in it. So in the Second World War, when down in Chile, they tried to commandeer all the iodine that's normally mined down there. The United States government had to go down there, grab a whole ton of it, make a mountain of it in the United States, so they'd never run out of iodine for making tires again.
I didn't even know they did that, man. That's crazy. Figures. Yeah.
Every circuit board and every computer has iodine in the manufacturing of it. So your system, your body, every cell in your body has iodine, and your thyroid and your brain use iodide. So what's the best of both worlds? Well, the second best is taking iodide every day and salt, which they've done. We make an iodide product. It's pure, not potassium iodide, just pure iodide. It's made from iodine through a special reaction we do. And then we also have iodine in its pure molecular state. Now, this is the first time in history that it's ever been made available like this. Wow. If you go back into the 50s, you start to look at the peer-reviewed clinical trials and studies they did on viruses, for example. Povidone, which is a brand name for iodophore technology. Iodophore is a, when they discovered that plastic absorbs iodine gas, mm-hmm. and they go, oh, that's an interesting way to store it, because iodine gas just wants to leave and run away. And they were having trouble stabilizing it. Mm-hmm. Well, they could stabilize it in plastic, which is not good for you because that's full of estrogens. And of course, you don't want to take plastic in. But they use it for the external, for washing hands in hospitals, because they figured out how to get it into the plastic and then get it to release from the plastic. In the 50s, when they started doing all the clinical trials and studies on viruses, they chose the strongest virus in the world, which is a polio one, the most difficult to deal with. And it did a lot of damage to a lot of people for a long time. Well, they took the iodophore tech, which is the plastic iodine, and they that releases between 5 and 8 parts per million. They exposed that level of iodine release to a polio one virus in vitro. And it completely deactivated that virus within 30 minutes so that it would never come alive again. Well, wow. They're not alive, but it would never be active again.
Right.
It could never do damage again. And that was this huge breakthrough. Well, fast forward to today. So when you have 150 parts per million of a much smaller molecule in the form of a gas in an aqueous solution, and you let it release out of the water, which is in like a microsecond instead of taking 30 minutes, and you carpet bomb it with 150 parts per million in a microsecond, 4 seconds later, polio one virus is deactivated.
Wow.
That's the current technology. Now, we're not interested in running around and saying, oh, well, you know, if you take this special iodine and it's going to cure this and it's going to do that, forget it. Let people figure it out for themselves. They can go back into their own science, do their own studies. All we're doing is providing the right form of iodine. They got to do their own studies. We don't make medical claims because we have actually no right to make a medical claim. Why? There's no clinical trials. There's no double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized studies on our iodine. It just so happens that we have the top form in the smallest molecule with the fastest acting on whatever you're going to use it for.
Right.
And iodine has thousands of applications, from treating water to allowing chickens to live with a much lower mortality rate, almost to zero, in these big chicken barns, you know, where they have 36,000 chickens. It helps plants grow faster. It remediates soil problems. It cleans the air. There's atmospheric iodine that we have. If you take it inside your body, it completely helps your body to regenerate itself because it's just a raw material. To say that iodine cures something is actually a lie, because that's like saying, oh yeah, here, this element is going to cure that. No, your body is a living being and it's using all these different elements and nutrients and whatever to produce the things that your living body has. Because if iodine cured cancer, for example, which is such a dumb thing. Anybody who talks about cancer cannot be cured. Cancer is a disease. It doesn't like to be cured. It's not interested in being cured. It's interested in killing people. There's no cure for cancer. There's an ability to support a person's body to get well.
That's right.
But forget the friggin' cancer stuff, because cancer is in the body showing up to help the person to get
well. That's right. That's right. Just like a virus. One of the biggest misconceptions about human health, and obviously because we've been treating symptoms and just symptoms for so long that we've forgotten that those are there for a reason. And whether it's virus, whether it's a cancer, whether it's tumor, that is a messenger, you know. And so I always
alarm.
Yeah, that's right. It's an and it can be a very, you know, a very big alarm, especially when you get a diagnosis like you did. So I'm so glad you said that, because we need to reevaluate how we understand human health. I mean, everybody does, you know, and it's a great point. So I'm sorry, you know, please continue.
It's not the same as magnesium. It has a different vibe, because magnesium has 330 biochemical reactions. Iodine has every single thing happening in your body requires iodine.
Right.
And women.
Do you remember the name of that study, Ian? Because I want to include it if I can in our comments.
Well, I'll send you the link to the show.
Okay, we'll include it
in the show notes. Yeah, I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's definitely these studies are great. And the thing is that we didn't know that they had studied for 60 years to find out it was actually iodine deficiency that was causing a massive numbers of troubles. You know, the insane institutions emptied within 10 years when they put iodide in the salt.
What's
with that? You know, you still had your mutations and the severely retarded people at the time, you know, or whatever they called it at the time.
Right.
They were still in there. But the people that were just in there because of a disruption with themselves mentally were released. They got out of there. And then when it hit in the States in the 1920s, that was just a common knowledge. You just knew that iodized salt was, that's why it was. Well, by the time we showed up, 1970, 1980, because of the high blood pressure, the condemning of the salt, and then the removal of the iodide out of a lot of things like bread and beer, you had this increasing problem that was no longer being identified.
Can you talk about what the dose that you would recommend? Like, so first I want to hear the dose you recommend for just someone trying to maintain health, and then perhaps if there is a difference, some the dose you would recommend for someone who is trying to heal themselves or achieve a greater level of wellness in their life because of a disease or a dissonance in the cells.
Right. So that comes down to RDA. So RDA is recommended daily allowance. And you have different governments in different parts of the world recommending different numbers. So it's extremely different and diverse. Like example, Canada, the US, the RDA is 150 micrograms. Right. A microgram is a millionth of a gram. Very tiny, tiny, tiny amount. And then you have the WHO. We don't really care too much about the WHO at this time. They recommend 1,000 micrograms a day. So not, you know, what is that? 7-6 times more.
Right.
And then you have the Japanese government, RDA of 13,500. That's a little extreme compared to 150, but it's not extreme. You could totally do 13,500. Mm-hmm. What I found here, because I don't want to jar people, nor do I want to tell them what to do. I simply want to give them good, intelligent data that they can themselves make an intelligent decision on what they feel is going to be good for them. And then they see the results. So what I'm doing personally is I take 750 micrograms every 12 hours. Now, if a person has something wrong, like say they have really a serious gut issue and they want to support their body's ability to have healthier gut health, they could do a tablespoon every 3 hours or they could do a teaspoon every 3 hours. And as long as they're ready for a bit of a ride, because it is going to detox them if they have a lot of garbage going on. They may get a bloated gut. They may get a clearing out of their system for a little while. But it is very important for people to take probiotics and however they get them, whether they go to the store and buy them, whether they get the shelf-stable stuff or the refrigerated, or whether they go get kefir and make their own dairy. There's a whole number of ways to build your friendly bacteria. The whole idea is to delete the unfriendlies down to a properly manageable level. And build up the friendly so that your body is super intelligent, because you have more bacteria than you have cells in your body. And that bacteria, when it's healthy, that is driving quantumly a huge amount of gut instinct, heart passion, and head calculations. It's all tied in. So the iodine plays a massive role in making sure you get the unfriendlies out, remaps all your neurological pathways with the proper elemental stuff that you require for circuitry, and at the same time allows the friendly bacteria to just flourish. That's the protocol, you know?
You know, one of the things that I learned years ago, and I'm studying with Dr. Joe Dispenza and studying the placebo effect and seeing firsthand how powerful the placebo effect is and having very close friends who have used meditation techniques, diet to take care of stage 2, stage 3 cancer. I mean, that's no BS. You know, that I was a party to and witness to that. So I would love to hear your thoughts about the nocebo and the placebo and how beliefs come into play.
Yeah, placebo is one of the coolest things out there. It because it works in conjunction with all the things that are right. Like if you're taking, it's like when you shift from eating junk food to eating organic. Just that knowledge that you've done that alone creates this huge placebo tsunami. And it's so wonderful, because nothing feels as good as feeling good. So we would relate placebo to feeling good. And when you feel good, then you go, wow, that worked. And then you do more of that. Then you get more of that working. And then it becomes a quantum thing. It becomes a reality. And people see it and they see your glow and they go, wow, what are you doing? Very interested in this. And then they start to believe that they could do that thing. So it is an inspirational thing, this placebo. And we can build placebo by doing more of the right things that we just know mathematically makes sense. If I'm working in the oil field for 17 years getting filled with lead poisoning, there's a placebo around that too, which is the belief that that could be very bad for me.
Right.
I just known how bad it was. And then when I woke up to the fact that I was full of it, then I'm like, wow, I got to get this out. So there was another placebo that came in to get rid of that crap. Well, the unfortunate thing is, and it's only unfortunate if you're not aware, is that nocebo is probably 10x more powerful than placebo. And that is a known thing that's used against us all the time. Because if you're not aware of the dynamics between placebo and nocebo, you're going to get freaking bulldozed.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, and you're seeing it all the time, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt your flow of thought.
Yeah, placebo is the thing that builds you up and empowers you and gives you the dynamics that go with the mechanics. So you think about mechanics and dynamics. Mechanics are the physical things you're doing, the exercise, the food you're eating. The dynamics are like the gasoline in your tank that's going with a perfectly mechanical car that has a spark. Dynamics make you go down the road. So that's your placebo, is that thing that comes in and empowers you to continue to do the right thing and to get more and more dialed in. Whereas nocebo is the thing that tears you down in the subconscious world. You don't even realize it's tearing you down. And the best example of nocebo is they put it on the news starting back in the 60s. They said, oh, did you know that one in every seven men and one in every nine women is going to get cancer in this lifetime? And then they, as it graduates on.
Self-fulfilling prophecy, absolutely.
Well, but actually, yes, but it didn't have to be, because by 2010, they're saying, did you know that now, after all these years, that one in every two males is going to get cancer, right, and one in every three females? That's all total bullshit. Complete lies. But if I hear that on the news and I go, wow, really? And then I say that, did you hear that blah, blah, blah? That becomes a reality to me. That nocebo is now made real by me speaking about it, hearing it, believing it, and then telling somebody else. That makes the nocebo a reality. Otherwise, it's just the nocebo sitting there not affecting me.
That's right.
Total bullshit, right? It's not true. There's no freaking way. And then when you do math, let's just do some math. And we'll talk about the University of Texas in a sec, because that's going to tie in. But let's just do math. Let's look at cancer, for example. The American Cancer Institute, right? The society, the Canadian Cancer Society, start in early 1900s. They get funded by what?
Tax
rebatable dollars. Donations that you can take off your tax.
Right.
And then they're finding the cause for cancer. Let's find the cause for cancer. You know, 1% of the people have cancer. There's seven different types. It's terrible. We got to find the cause. The more money they get, the more research they do, the more people they pay at the high level to do actual research, the more carcinogens show up, the more causes there are for cancer, the more cancers there are, and the greater number of people are getting cancer is not diminishing. And you would think after 120 years, it would be long gone. But no, there's now 700.
No, we have thousands now. We are finding new cancers every day. Are you kidding?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, 700 instead of seven, and now 50% of what is, really cool, guys. Awesome job.
Yeah.
So that's your typical. But then the University of Texas, and I'm not sure if we talked about this in other conversations before, but it bears note that they did a total placebo surgery thing with 300 men in their mid-70s who all had to have arthroscopic surgery on their knees because they were bone on bone. And so they did this totally cool study where they took the first 100 men, did the complete surgery, which was the incision, the rinsing, the scraping, the rinsing, the suture, and then done, half an hour surgery. And they had all the sounds and noises and everything in it. And it was all behind a curtain and everybody was awake when it was being done. It was using a local anesthetic. And they did the next 200 only with the incision, the rinse, and then the sew up. And the third one is just the incision, no rinse, no scraping, no
nothing.
That's
the documentary that you spoke about, right? That's
Placebo surgery.
Placebo cracking the code. I think they renamed that. We're going to include a link to that. They're calling it placebo cracking the code. Yeah.
So that wasn't the problem, though. See, because they banned that on 60 Minutes. And I was like, why would they ban that on 60 Minutes? What's
Can't
that all
that getting out.
That was the big alert, because it wasn't about the placebo. It had nothing to do with the placebo. They didn't want people to find out that nocebo existed at all.
Wow.
And that nocebo is so much more powerful. And if that was so powerful to do that, how much more power is on the human mind subconsciously from nocebo mistruths? And that's the deal. That was
God. If people understood the truth of that, the media would be out of business. I mean, they would be,
that's right,
they would be forced to shutter, because no one would watch. No one would, there'd be no advertising dollars.
They'd be looking for that nocebo continuously.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't even think they realize how much they're invested in it, you know?
Yeah, I'll bet you the majority of people we could do a survey. I would guesstimate 99.9% of the people on the earth have never even heard of nocebo. And the greatest video I think that everyone should see right now to help them to get it, what's happening, is published in 2017, and it's called 10 Myths About Government Debt. 10 Myths About Government Debt. Antony, A-N-T-O-N-Y, not an H. Davies, D-A-V-I-E-S. And he was published. It wasn't even his own channel. He's got his own channel, but this wasn't even published on his own channel. And he's done an updated version of this recently after this whole COVID thing hit, but he's not referring to COVID in it because he knows
that's
not what it's about. Right.
Right.
And so it's just to give a snapshot. He said the myth is that the government is in debt $20 trillion. So in 2016, that was the number that the U.S. government right. was publishing. He said, that's a myth. Yeah, they owe $20 trillion to the Fed, right. whatever. Yeah, good.
To China, to the Fed. I mean,
whoever, yeah. you know, around the world. And, but there's an unfunded obligations that people have got to be aware of, and that is the most important thing of all. And the unfunded obligations are the retirement plans, the pensions, Medicare, the Medicaid. Those make up the bulk of those unfunded obligations. And they are a federal level, a state level, and a municipal city level. So the federal level was estimated between 80 and 200 trillion on the federal level in 2016.
Wow.
He realized the number was closer, more accurate number of 125 trillion. And then at the state and the municipal level combined was another 20 trillion. This is money that is unfunded, that there is no money for at all, but it's promised money into the future with this tsunami wave of requirement.
Right.
So as the baby boomers, which is that huge bubble everybody talks about, which is very real, mm-hmm. they go into retirement, they are not producing any more value, mm-hmm. and they are taking a pension, whether it's from Ford, GM, Chrysler, right. the government, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's a pension. And the reason it's called unfunded, because there's no money for it.
Interesting. Interesting. Right.
And they're also the people who are requiring health, because they've been trained to count on doctors to run right. to when they have a problem, instead of taking right. responsibility like we do and going, no,
forget the doctors. That's a big...
Doctors are awesome for triage, right?
But big problem, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's... And that was in 2016. Wow. What is it 5 years later? So you go, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20, going into 21. Now we're into the fifth year of this. The situation is that there has been no money for 5 years. And what have they done to compensate it? They've been printing money on a computer, adding zeros to the tune of billions of dollars per day, every day, billions per day, every day since then. Now, if you do that and you don't tell the people, because normally it used to be they would print paper money that was based on gold, right?
Right.
You would only print the amount of gold you had. And if you had to put more gold, and if you told people, hey, we got to print more money, that caused inflation. So that this phone at $1,500,
right,
for a high-end iPhone, if you print double the amount of money, now that's got to be $3,000, whether you like it or not.
Right.
And your wages, if you're made $50,000 a year, now you have to make $100,000 a year.
Right. That's so you can't do that. You can't. So you just can't tell people.
Well, they did it without telling anyone.
Yeah.
And they've been doing this for 5 years. So they kept doubling and doubling and doubling. Now this iPhone realistically should be closer to around $6,000 right now.
Right. But it's not. Right.
And our wages should be up around $600,000.
Right. Okay?
And, you know, if we're an employee. But it didn't. They didn't do any of that. So what was built is this incredible fiscal cliff that's real that took it up and up and up without telling anybody. And then they're going to announce it because they can't. They ran out of the time for printing the money without telling people. 2020 was the year that they ran out of time. That's all it is.
So they needed an excuse. They needed a reason to just start. I mean, start all the printing presses up.
Yep.
We need an excuse to try to catch up to this. Because if we don't, it's all, you know, the whole thing is curtains.
There's a line you walk over. When you walk over the line, there's no return.
Right.
Now, Anthony Davies offered real solutions back in 2017 when he published that video. Real solutions. Mm-hmm. Talked about the cutting of cost on spending, right? Cutting your costs.
Yeah. We'll include a link to that video as well.
Yeah. It's awesome. And to make a long story short, they didn't listen. They weren't going to listen. This is an agenda-driven thing. The governments are 100% bankrupt. They are definitely going to default on all retirement payments. All Medicare is going to go away. It's done. It's finished. All of your big companies, Ford, Chrysler, GM, I don't care who they are, Air Canada, United, they're all going to default on all retirement pensions, 100%. And then there's going to be nothing other than no money for the people 60 and up who did not realize they have to be self-sufficient and take care of themselves.
Wow.
They are going to starve because they're not going to have money. They're going to get sick and there's going to be no Medicare. And that is going to cause an elimination of that category of society because they are the burden in the eyes of the government.
Meanwhile, the nursing home death toll is one third of all of the deaths in the United States. Somewhere
Canada
around
is 70% in Canada.
Oh my God!
Like what's the deal?
I mean, I just can't imagine. You know, if I had a grandfather or someone who was in a home and I didn't get to say goodbye, and I didn't get to have a funeral, and I was sold all this horse shit, I don't even know what I would do. I mean, it makes me angry just thinking about it, you know.
There's no, and so anyone who actually allowed themselves to be told they were not essential are actually non-essential.
Right.
They declared right. it, you know, that's that nocebo, right? And right. the placebo, all
God,
together.
Oh my God.
Yeah. All together, because the nocebo was you're not essential, and the placebo was I'm not essential.
Right.
And the nocebo, you're going to lock yourself in the home and self-incarcerate yourself. I'm going to lock myself and stay safe at home.
Right.
Oops. Now you
safe
got the
at home.
Full effect.
Right. Now, we're all in this together, except you're alone.
As soon as I heard that, I said, that's bullshit. I'm not in this at all.
Talk about a fucking bill of sale.
At all.
God.
Total insanity.
Don't even get me started.
Ian. Right. Well, anyway. So
So just so we have a recap of everything, Ian, I would love for you to kind of go through, just recap some of the things that anybody watching this can do. We're talking about, you know, health, survival, you know, some of the advice that you would give them, some of the products that you have available, and if they can't afford that or if they can't find that, you know, maybe an alternate somewhere else they can find this element. To help them feel safe in this time we're living in. That'd be awesome.
Now, you've still got all the same crap coming at you with pollutants and diseases and infections. All that crap is still there. We have all those answers anyway, how to guard yourself. You got to arm yourself to the teeth against all physical contaminants, all mental contaminants, and all emotional contaminants. Mm-hmm. Now, spiritual contaminants are a whole different thing.
Right.
You know, that's a whole nother
subject. We'll have to cover that.
We're not going into that today.
Okay.
Right? So we're talking about the most important things you do for free at home, mm-hmm. as well as what you do. Now we're in the show notes. There's going to be links in your show notes
right.
that I can provide the videos that people can see what to do for free.
Right.
And whether they want to do it or not, that's their issue.
So we'll have plenty of those links as well. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And this is the most effective stuff, because there's all kinds of stuff you can do that's okay.
Right.
You don't have time for that shit. You got to do the most effective stuff in the shortest amount of time to get the fastest results so that you are armed and ready to roll all the way through this whole deal.
Hit us with it.
For sure. So now the nutrients, the concentrated nutrients that are shelf-stable, that's all we produce. Mm. Whether it's an element or whether it's a nutrient, they're all shelf-stable, they're all concentrated. So they are the things, that's part of your arsenal, whether it's a phytoplankton, it's the E's, it's the oils, it's the plant sterile extracts, it's the iodines, it's whatever, mm-hmm. right? But you got to have enough to be able to get through to a certain level of time. There is going to be some logistic interruptions along the way where there are unfortunately going to be gaps. Mm-hmm. So it's important to get stuff now just to build it up. And you're not going to lose. It's not like you're going to have too much, because you're always going to use it because it's shelf stable. Shelf stability is a thing we focus on. It does not require refrigeration. Does not require, you know, some special thing. It's already dialed in. So getting those things, making sure your body is fueled, number one. And we'll, you know, you guys are going to learn by going and clicking on links and learning about these different fuels. They're already done. They're ready to go. We can produce mass volumes of them. The next thing is these PEMF that you've mentioned. So not only does it purge your body of the incorrect signals, but most importantly, it allows your cell membrane. So your cell membrane has a positive negative charge, mm-hmm. and that can get very confused when your polarization goes off. If you have got a messed up thing coming from the grid or a messed up thing coming from a cell tower or a phone, it can flip your polarities. And when that happens, you're not bringing the nutrients into the cell through the membrane properly. And each membrane has a lipid. It's called a lipid membrane. A lipid is an oil. So that's why the oils are so key, because you have the pure oils that are not rancid. Now your communication is better. You have the right frequency supporting the ability of the cell to get nutrients in and toxins out. Because just think of yourself, you're burning fuel. You get exhaust out the back of your car,
Right.
The clean fuel comes in, the more efficient burning the engine is, the less toxin crap is coming out. But you got to make sure that if you plug up your exhaust, you're constipated.
Right. You're right. In trouble.
So every cell is like that. Think of every cell as a part of you that's functioning in that whole equilibrium world. So yeah, cell membranes are going to be optimized by pulse electromagnetic frequency and oils. Okay. Then the elements and the nutrients are going to do their job properly. They're going to burn with the least amount of smoke, because if you're eating garbage food, that burns like a smoke in an inflammatory way. Mm. And that starts to mess with you, because then you're reactive oxygen species. You know, right. Anyway, you got to just arm yourself and get yourself ready. So you want to see yourself as that youthful, energized being. Mm-hmm. Get a picture of yourself when you're 21 and look at it. Mm-hmm. That's who you really are. Visualize that. When I was big and fat and ugly and dying, I looked at that picture and went, that is not even, who is that guy?
Right, right.
Somewhere inside there is me. That ain't me. Mm-hmm. And I, when I visualized it, I knew I could achieve it. And right. I went back to that person I was when I was at my best.
Yeah.
Which
that's
took a long time.
That's healing. That's how healing is done, you know. Right.
You know, there's a Russian woman who I learned about 15 years ago. I did this too. She got pictures of herself today, mm-hmm. a year ago, and sequentially all the way back to when she was a little girl. And every day she's alive, she looks at the picture today in sequence all the way back to when she was a baby, and she has mm-hmm. not been aging as a result.
Wow.
It does something to her energetically, mentally, emotionally, physically, that she literally was not aging, and it just blew everybody's mind. But she did it every day, and she never looked at it in the wrong sequence.
We'll have to find a link. We'll find a link to that and include that too. That'd be awesome. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, Ian, before I forget, is you know, we saw a lot of doctors coming out and talking about the deficiency in vitamins that a lot of people who were coming down with COVID-19 were having deficiencies in zinc. You know, you had a lot of talk about deficiencies in vitamin D, especially among Africans, because of the level of
Skin pigment. Yeah,
right. Their skin pigment, and because it's a little more difficult for them to take the vitamin D in from the sun. And I mean, I would love to hear your thoughts about it, about all that, and what some of these doctors were talking about, maybe.
Yeah, that was a trend. The doctors definitely noticed that, you know, and this applies to all diseases, because of the acute nature and the focal point on the COVID-19, the coronavirus, they were saying, oh, wow, this is like really actually more common than we thought. And then everybody chased out to take vitamin C and vitamin D and zinc and all that stuff, which is fine. But that again, instead of waiting for something acute to show up, we want to think about all of the elements of how important they are to keep ourselves
right.
at the highest state that we can be, so that we're not susceptible to those things. Because any one of us could catch anything, could
right.
go into a state of lack of equilibrium and disease. So that is very, very important that people should do their own research, make their own decisions. Because, you know, when you make a decision for yourself based upon intelligent information, you actually feel great about that.
Yeah.
You accomplished something. You didn't do just what somebody told you. And that's what activation was all about. It was activating people to do their own research by giving them data that they get, instead of like all this sales letter crap and you
right.
know, manipulation with NLP and hypnotic stuff. And that's all, it all works, but I hated that stuff.
Right.
Because the actual best way to go through life is you never try to get people to believe what you believe just because I'm right. Right. Of course I'm right. Is that you are, you know, you should neither believe nor disbelieve somebody until you've done the research yourself mm-hmm. and actually looked at it mathematically and really not pseudoscience, but real science. And these are things that you as an intelligent being can do. That's what I did. I went out and I was the most clueless ever. Mm-hmm. Opinionated, freaking know-it-all, idiot. Like, I mean, I was like the epitomization of what you would never want to be. But when I realized I was like that, wow, that was a huge wake-up call. I was like, I was actually an asshole.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not cool. So how do I get that, you know, out of my system and where I'm not trying to get you to believe what I believe because I'm right.
Right.
Because that sucks. That steals your journey. You know, there's all the doubt. Doubt is a constant problem because everyone's heard it all, haven't they?
Right.
All the salespeople, all the sales copy, all the manipulation, all the NLP, all that crap. And
right.
People are sick of it. They just want to have solid info, take responsibility for themselves, see the results come in, and not be disappointed again and again. So, because I wanted the very best, most efficacious things at the very best price. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have to pay ridiculous prices for things. And if right. I wanted that for me, then I should legitimately want that for my clients and the people who I'm here to serve. Because I'm here right. to serve them. They don't serve me.
Right.
Right. I'm here to serve them with the best stuff. And I was granted the access to all these things, did the work for them, and I'm giving that for free because that is the information. Everybody gets a great buzz after right. telling somebody something that worked for me is going to work for you and how you're going to approach it. That's where the big buzz is. That's why we're doing this interview right now.
Exactly. Because
our buzz in life is seeing people do great.
That's right. And you have an awesome site and activation and awesome line of products. And you know, and you're kind enough and generous enough to also say, look, you know, it's this. You don't have to get it from me, but you should get it, you know. And mm-hmm. I love that about you, Ian. You know, thank you for sharing your knowledge with all of us, everyone listening. And, you know, it's an honor to talk to you. I'm sure we're going to have to talk to you again because I'm going to start using a bunch of these products. And I would love to talk to you in a few weeks and let you know how it's going, what's changed for me. And, we've got a lot of links to showcase from this interview. So. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
The fun has just begun.
One last question for Ian. During this time we're living in, if you had to, like, let's say you were on your way out of here, off the planet, and you bumped into some of our friends in a UFO, and they were coming down, and they were said, "What would, before you go, man, what were three things that what give us three things we're going to need down there, you know, to make it, to survive. What would you tell them? I'm so curious to know."
No, well, the three, it would be a means of making sure you have pure, clean, structured water, because that is number one.
Okay.
Yep. Making sure you're in the flow. Number two, shelf stable nutrients. You know, unless you're a sun gazer and you know how to pull all the
energy right, out of the sun. Right. Maybe they will be. I don't know, but it's good to know.
People can do that.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that. I've done some sun gazing in my past, but definitely shelf-stable nutrients, elements. Nutrients and elements are, you know, like foods, concentrated foods, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. and have a good amount of them. Mm-hmm. And then a device that would keep your entire energetic system electrically lined up.
Okay.
And definitely a wearable PEMF. Outside of that, of course, everything is based on knowledge, you know, based on discernment, knowing the places that are safe, knowing the places that are dangerous,
right.
and staying in the safe place that you can be at all times, spiritually, mental, emotionally, and physically.
Right.
And do not believe what people are telling you from the mainstream, because that is deception at its highest level. Mm-hmm. But certainly discern, and there are people who have the truth. But making right. your own wise decisions.
You know, that's what's led me here in this conversation we're having, is my intuition and going from my heart, following my heart, speaking my truth. And that's why it's so great to have this conversation and share this with people. And I know that it's, you know, it's something that people can immediately listen to. You know, go click on a few links, find out a few things, and take steps to improve their health, maybe dramatically, you know. So that's awesome, Ian.
Yeah, and I would say the one final thing for the Earthlings, which we are, is to certainly realize that we are in many areas still deceived, that we're coming out of that deception as we go, mm-hmm. and that we don't know, and that an increase of knowledge of the real knowledge is super essential, and to take responsibility for yourself and your family. And not let anybody else try to take that from you.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Those are good words to live by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it so much.
Yeah, I appreciate the time, fellas. This has been fun. Been
Absolutely. Great. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.